O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We turn in the front part of our hymnals to Psalm 125. And today we read Psalm 125 responsively by half verse. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion,
which cannot be moved, but abides forever.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people.
From this time forth and forevermore.
For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous.
Lest the righteous
do good, O Lord, to those who are good. But those who turn aside in their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. The first reading for this, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The final reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the hands. Thank you. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Continue at this time with our review of the small catechism. Please note today there will not be any children's catechism lesson. But we turn to page 325, and near the bottom of the left-hand column, we review together the second section concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Thank you.
His mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text again this Sunday is from that wonderful letter of Paul to the Romans, and one of the finest chapters of the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. And I read again verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. You're Christians. So either St. Paul didn't get the memo when he was writing Romans, or the Holy Spirit didn't pay attention when he was learning Greek grammar. I mean, how else can you explain why Paul would write these words? Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Why would Paul write glorified? Why would the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to write glorified? And yet, there it is. Inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by St. Paul, glorified. Past tense, completed action, done. And so let me ask you, do you feel very glorified today? Bet not. I sure don't. Do you feel very glorified when the coronavirus is still out there wreaking havoc on our public health, our economy, our educational system, and our individual liberties? Do you feel very glorified when society is unraveling and there are those who call evil good and good evil? Do you feel very glorified when you don't have a job or your business is going belly up and you don't have any idea how you're going to make ends meet? Do you feel very glorified when the grief over a loved one who has died is still as raw and gut-wrenching as it's ever been? Do you feel very glorified when you're chronically ill or terminally ill and dying? Do you feel very glorified when your marriage is falling apart and your children are engaged in lifestyles that fly in the face of everything that you taught and instilled in them? Do you feel very glorified when, even as a Christian, you struggle day in and day out against sin and temptation? I bet you don't feel all that glorified. And if this is being glorified, then I'm not so sure I want it. So why did the Holy Spirit inspire St. Paul to write that those whom God predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified? I mean, we understand that God predestined us. We understand why that verb is past tense. St. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, he chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. I mean, think of that. From the beginning, even before the beginning, God the Father thought of you, loved you, chose and predestined you to be his holy child through Jesus. We understand that God called us. We understand why that verb is in the past tense. God called you and me to faith in Jesus so that we might receive and enjoy the fruits of his cross and his empty tomb. That's how St. Paul addresses the Roman Christians at the beginning of his letter. He writes, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. In 2 Thessalonians, we read this: God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that God justified us. We understand why that verb is in the past tense. God justified you and me for Jesus' sake. In other words, he declared us guilty sinners, not guilty. He forgave all our sins. He now sees us as righteous with Christ's own righteousness. St. Paul writes in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God predestined you. God called you. God justified you. But has God really glorified you? I mean, we think of being glorified as something down the road, something that happens to us on our last day when our souls go to be with the Lord in heaven, something that happens on the last day when our bodies are raised to live forever in the new heavens and the new earth, but not now, not yet. In fact, I said that last week in the sermon. The glory is not yet. Earlier in Romans 8, Paul himself talks about our being glorified as something in the future. Last Sunday, we heard these words from Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul talks about the coming glory that will be ours as something that we are hoping for, something that we are patiently waiting for. In Colossians 3, Paul writes, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Paul tells the Philippians that when Jesus comes again, then he will change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Jesus, in the parable that we heard last Sunday, taught that at the end of the age, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And yet here's Paul saying, those whom he justified, he also glorified. Why the past tense, as though we are already glorified? Well, St. Paul knew exactly what he was writing. And for sure, the Holy Spirit knew exactly what he was inspiring Paul to write. To be sure, we live in a sinful world where pandemics and violent crime, natural disaster and poverty inflict suffering on believers and unbelievers alike. We still live in fallen bodies that are not yet immune to illness and injury, to old age and death. We still live among sinful neighbors who are just as capable of harming us with their thoughts and words and deeds as we are of them. And yet the fact that one day God will glorify us, whom he has predestined and called and justified, the fact that he will usher us into the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness, the fact that he will raise us from the dead and give us new bodies that will be imperishable and immortal, the fact that he will give us new hearts that are only capable of loving him and our neighbors, that is so sure, so certain. It's as though it has already happened. It's as good as done. Glorified. Martin Fransman writes, the thing is done. All that Paul has said about the certainty of future glory is crystallized in this past tense. And again, Fransman writes, that glory is as certain as it is great. And because of that future glory that is certain in Christ, St. Paul can say things like, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because our future glory is sure and certain in Jesus, all things, even bad things, the things that cause us to suffer, must in the end serve to God's good and saving purposes. That's why St. Paul can say things like, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the midst of and in spite of all that we suffer in this world and in this life, we remain conquerors who share in the glorious victory that Jesus won over sin and death. That's why St. Paul can say things like, I am convinced that neither life nor death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved by our God in Jesus, his Son, nothing can separate us from him. Nothing can prevent us from one day shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. But there's even more going on in that past tense verb glorified. Not only is our future glory so sure and certain that it's as though it has already happened. Inasmuch as Jesus has risen from the dead and has ascended in glory to God the Father, so have we. We have hitched our wagons to Jesus. What is true for him is true for us who have been united with him in holy baptism. What is true for him is true for us who are like branches connected to a vine. What is true for him is true for us who are members of his body. And so Paul writes in Ephesians, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Again, Martin Fronsman writes, as surely as Christ is glorified, those who are in him are also glorified. Anders Nygren comments, Paul speaks of a reality which both has come and is to come. And so as we live out our days in this vale of tears, this fallen world, this place of suffering, we do so with absolute joy and confidence. We cling to that blessed past tense in Romans 8:30, knowing that the God who predestined us and who called us and who justified us is the God who not only will glorify us, but in Christ he already has. And that, my friends, is a promise that you can take with you every day until the last day, all the way to the grave, and even beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Those newly elected, re-elected, officers and board members and board chairmen, please come forward. I will read the names of all of the newly elected officers and board members, some of whom will be joining us at second service, some of whom are here presently. Elected officers are Chairman Clark Smart, Treasurer Doug Huebner, Recording Secretary Judy Hank, Financial Secretary Paul Meal. We are very happy to have a full TLS board, and the members of that board now are Janet Myers, Carolyn Burke, Shannon Sprouls, Paul Gritton, and Kelly Stack. Board of Elders, John Thompson, Terry Maurer, and Mike Wright. Our Board of Fellowship, Pat Huebner, Chairman of the Board of Trustees, and the trustee at this point, Susan Meal, and Chairman of the Board of Stewardship, Jan Milkey. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men full of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Trinity Congregation. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. And so, in the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer together, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by this man and these women whom you have elected to serve as officers of Trinity Congregation. Do you, the congregation, promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work done in our midst? If so, congregation, then answer together, we do. Brother and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers and board members and board chairmen of Trinity Congregation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Before we pray for these new officers, I would be remiss not to offer thanks to those who have served in offices in the past and have stepped away from their time of service. Kathy Thomas served for many years as the recording secretary of the congregation. Phil Meal served for I don't know how long as treasurer. Jerry Ford has been a longtime elder. And, of course, we had four outgoing school board members, Eric Westfall, Diana Gernand, Bob Urban, and Sherry Urban. And so we thank them all for their fine service to our congregation and the contributions they have made to our life together. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You return to your seats. The congregation rises.
Thank you.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In our other prayers this morning, we pray for the sick and hospitalized whose names appear on our prayer list, especially today our members Karen Trimberger, Jose Sanchez, Nora Ross, Harry Hoagland, Phyllis Engel, Herschel Steenbergen, Paul Hazy, and Jerry Jarvis. We also pray for our neighbor and former member Kevin Frank. Kevin is Joan Frank's son. We pray for Sam and David Sanders on their 32nd birthdays. We pray for Judy Sanders and all who mourn the death of Tracy Hancock, who was a friend of Judy's. And finally, we pray for the Reverend Nicholas Cooey, who has been called by Emmanuel Congregation to serve as their pastor. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, have mercy on our nation. Drive away the virus, heal the sick, help the businesses and individuals who are struggling financially. Restore peace and order to our communities. Unify us as a nation and heal those divisions that threaten our union. And make us mindful that in all these things, too, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, your own law forbids us to harm our neighbor's body or take his property. Watch over those who enforce the law of our land and who, in doing their duty, actually help to protect their neighbor's lives and property as you command. Help us to support and encourage those who serve in law enforcement agencies in their work, and help us to thank them for it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, you promise that all things, even sickness and suffering, must work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so bless Karen, Jose, Nora, Harry, Phyllis, Herschel, Paul, Jerry, Kevin, and all who are named on our prayer list. Bring good out of their suffering and help them to trust that you are for them and not against them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, you promise that neither life nor death, nor anything else in all creation, can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Comfort Judy and all who mourn Tracy's death. Comfort all who grieve with your sin-forgiving, death-defeating, life-giving love through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord of life, we join Sam and David in praising you for another year of life and all the blessings that have come with it. Give them confidence and comfort going forward in knowing that you have predestined them, you have called them, you have justified them, and you have glorified them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Father, you did not spare your own Son, but gave him up for us all. Call the unbelieving and the unbaptized to faith in Jesus, that believing that he died and rose again for them, they might be justified by his grace through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord of the church, continue to guide Pastor Cooey to that decision that is both pleasing to you and best for your church, and grant that wherever he serves, he may rejoice to preach the good news of the salvation that you have worked for sinners from beginning to end, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shepherd of tender youth, bless our school, that in our classrooms and chapel, our students and their families may come to know and believe in the love that you have for them, the Son that you gave for them, and the salvation he has won for them. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.